bit on that.
Questions?
Okay. Let's talk about your college years.
Okay. I went to college. Went to Penn State. And
did you go on the main campus?
Yeah, I went. Right, I was only on the main campus, and I enjoyed Penn State a great deal. One of the benefits I think I had was that, I mean, I had been away from home down in Florida before I went back to college, when I went to college rather, and that I think helped me get a feeling of being away from home. So going to Penn State wasn't a complete different, you know, change for me. I was then found out living in Florida that, you know, I had to make some decisions on my own, because by the time I'd call home or whatever, or communicate, and they'd get back to me what to do here or there, I figured out I better make the decision myself. So I didn't join any sorority at Penn State. And actually, I don't think it was took longer to get up there than it does now. We didn't have the throughways and all. So I don't recall that my mother came up very much. As I say, my father was deceased. My brother was living in an institution, so it was just my mother. And we still had our maid, I think. She lived with us even, by the way, after she got married. Both of them lived upstairs. We became very close, and then she had children. They moved to California, and actually my mother gave them the wedding ring and stuff like that. We were very close to them. She would sort of brought me up. Penn State, I graduated Arts and Letters, and went, at that time, it was during the war. Everything was during the war. So there weren't actually a number of men up in Penn State, but they were all in the military. And they were Marines. We had Marines. Marines were the best ones to date. I mean, I never dated a Marine. There were Marines, and then came the Navy, and then the engineers. I would date the engineers because they were on the low totem pole. Engineers were the smart ones. Then you had some 4Fs who were up there. So those were the men that were there. And they were in your classes, because they took classes. They were there to take classes, so they were there. Marines would always fall asleep because they were on duty a lot at night and whatever. And we didn't have co-ed dorms by any means. So we lived in, a dorm that the first was called Women's Dorm, I think it's torn down now. And I can't remember the second dorm, but anyway, they were all women. And we had a lot of regulations of when men could be in the dorms and the first floor and this. And then you'd keep open the doors with little something or other so they could sneak in. All those things.
What did you major in?
In psychology. I had a minor in Spanish, or a major in minor in Spanish, and I had the English and psychology were my majors. So I graduated in Arts and Letters. And I was very involved in the theater group up there. I think I got my interest in theater. In fact, I'm on whatever the name of the sorority is. I've got my name on the plaque up at Penn State. But I didn't do much acting. In fact, I don't think I did any acting. I was in the technical part of it. And I became the head of the lighting crew. And that was pretty a lot of fun, interesting. And you met a lot of boys, because a lot of them were in it. So I got very involved in drama up at Penn State. And I'm still very much involved in theater here. So that was quite interesting. Then I went up to NYU and got a master's in communication up there, and lived in down at Washington Square at the place called Judson. I don't know if it's called the Judson Hotel. It was part of NYU down at Washington Square, and then we'd take the subway and go up. We'd get tickets to go to the radio shows and to help out or to work on that while we were there. TV. That was a lot of fun. Going to radio shows and being in behind stage and helping out, working there. Then I came back to Pittsburgh and worked in advertising.
Let me just stop you for a minute. Were there any influential teachers, professors, or other people who influenced your choice of career?
Not that I really that I can think of. Okay. Actually not. Okay. I got a job in advertising because I could get a job in advertising. And also I was good in English. I had English background and writing. And so I was secretary, but then I worked I was an account executive for a couple of agencies. Four agencies and stuff like that. So I started out as secretary because of my typing in English and shorthand skill. And then I would take over, particularly I did radio work, and I'd write scripts for radio commercials and things of that sort.
In New York, were you still in New York at the time?
No, I was in Pittsburgh. I worked in Pittsburgh in advertising. I had one client, Tucker Hat Company, and I did all their ads and wrote all the radio spots and stuff like that, and put ads for newspaper things and stuff. So I had a couple others, but that one was my principal. I was the only account for them. It's a small thing. It was on Fifth Avenue. May even still be there, come to think of it. So that was pretty interesting. And I lived at home. I lived here. There used to be a streetcar out front. I always had a streetcar. I think there was a streetcar when you moved in, wasn't there, Arthur? In here? Whatever. Yeah, because he had to get... I would never hear the streetcar, but we always had a streetcar. Where instead of the bus thing, we had a streetcar. It would disturb Arthur. He wasn't used to hearing a streetcar. But after a while, you get used to it. So we had a streetcar. We had a lot of streetcars in Pittsburgh. We didn't have buses. We had streetcars. You would go... there used to be a Frank and Cedars store, and that's over in the north side, and you did a lot of shopping downtown. And they had a market square, and they did this shopping in the market square, and they had sort of like Faneuil Hall up in Boston. You know, they had them... open market down there on the inside. And they had roller skating upstairs. You would go in there a lot, and you'd go into the... you just seemed to go downtown, and then to go over to Frank and Cedars, they had a shuttle, a streetcar, I think it was, would go over. And you'd go over a lot. Just because it was across the river, didn't stop, because they made it very easy for you to travel over there. We would go over theirs. We also happened to be indirectly related to the Cedars. So, and then there was a store, which is now Rosenbaum's, and I was very close to the treasurer of Rosenbaum's. They lived right around the corner, and their son, there were three of us in the neighborhood, young boy who lived a couple doors away, and another boy, the son of the treasurer of Rosenbaum's, lived right around on Denniston, and the three of us sort of palled together, went through school together, and were very close. And the Rosenbaum kid, whose name was Sidney, he got polio. And so I would go over every, every weekend, every Saturday, and what we used to do as kids, would go to the movies every Saturday. Now, we didn't see movies, we saw the serials, which were in the morning. And we would do that. It was like a babysitting thing. My mother would take us over, and they had a lot of theaters in East Liberty. We'd go to East Liberty a lot. And East Liberty had the Enright, the Regent, the Liberty, and in the camera phone, exactly, in the camera phone. So you go to, and then Mansman's department store, you'd shop there. So East Liberty we used to go into, and East End was pretty much Jewish at that time. So we'd go there a lot, and we would see the serials in the morning, and then we would try and stay and see the movie in the afternoon. And then I remember waiting for my mother to come pick me up, or pick us up. But in any event, when he got polio, I would go over after every serial and keep him up to date on what was going on with the serial, so he would know. It was like Perils of Pauline stories, these things, so we loved them. They were fabulous. And it was great. You spent all your Saturday there. They didn't like you staying for the movie because you didn't pay money. You tried to sneak, whatever. But quite often you could do it. They just wanted to, the movie people just wanted you to come in and see the serial. The Enright, was it the Enright? The one at the other end of the town, East Liberty, had a stage that moved up and down, and they had singers and a whole show. They would do a whole show for you, and those were great. I loved that, and particularly with the stage that would come up and down. So you really got to see stage shows, and then downtown had the Nixon Theater, which is very, very popular, at least. And we had, my mother had also a cousin or something, whose son was somewhat prominent in the Nixon Theater. And so he got us in to see all the shows, and we got, I was just looking, as a matter of fact, through some autograph books, and I have autographs of famous actors who came to Pittsburgh.
It was alive.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. So Alfred Lundlin Fontaine, I've got their, you know, autographs, and Eva LeGallien, all these people. And I have their autographs. And he was able to get us that. So my mother was very much interested in theater, and my father never went with us. And we would go to all the shows, and I get to see them. And the Nixon was just great. So, and then there were a number of movie theaters downtown that we used to have. And so you'd go down, see movies down there. But we really had a big performance area in town. The Nixon moved a couple times, but and gradually went out of existence, which I deplore terribly. So you would do that, and so it was easy. I don't know. Somehow you would go downtown quite frequently.
How old were you when you would do these? Was this high school or college?
It was probably high school, in high school. But I would go to shows, even in grammar school, I would be going. I also went to opera. I saw my first opera when I was a child. I saw Hansel and Gretel, and I saw, Pinocchio. I mean, Pagliacci. That was the first sort of adult one. I saw Pagliacci in Cavalier Russicana. I remember sort of where I was sitting. And that was at the Stanley, I would think it was. I was sitting first row of the balcony. But I don't think it was the Stanley. I think it was the Nixon that they had it, because it was a smaller theater.
Was Mr. Karp the...
The music director, right. But we'd see opera. We'd have opera. More opera. I'm trying to think, because they had opera maybe at the Syrian Mosque. And it might have been that they did it there. Although I remember the Syrian Mosque had shows, which of course is not in existence anymore. But somehow I picture myself downtown, but I remember sitting in the first row to see Pagliacci, which I liked very, very much. And so I would go to as many operas as I could. Again, my father didn't go.
Was that common among the other families that your family was friendly with to go to shows?
I don't know. I didn't go with anybody else. Just my mother and I would usually go.
That was before television.
Yeah, it was only before television. So you went out to get your entertainment. Didn't stay home particularly.
Was it financially accessible at that time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was not very expensive. It was always very popular.
Well, let's talk about how you met your husband.
He's from Chicago. And he came to Pittsburgh after the war, yeah. He was one of the first in the fighting before the war started, really, because he got drafted. Or he went in just before he got drafted, and he had early numbers, so he went in. But in any event, his sister, one of his sisters, he had two sisters older, and one of them lived in Pittsburgh, and her husband worked for the Bureau of Mines. And he came to visit them. And we met at a poker party. And then he was between jobs or whatever. He'd been working in Chicago, but he was, I think, got in an argument with the boss, and his brother-in-law got him a job at the Bureau of Mines. And so he started working there and lived with his sister, who lived over on, it's the South Hills. They lived over there. And as I say, we met at this party and then dated back, you know, some more, whatever. Then one time we were on a date and we were I think at a horse race down in West Virginia, and we had to dash back because something, somehow I wanted to, I had to go to something at Temple. So we were driving very fast, and he got a ticket, and he got his license taken away. So he gave me his car, and then I would pick him up and take him places. And then we always said that in order to get his car back, he married me. And
when did you get married? What year?
We're celebrating our 50th. We got married in 1950.
I do want to talk about where you first lived. And
I lived here.
Oh, right, right. Sorry about that. Okay.
Right, look here.
What about your children? Did you have children?
Yeah, I had three boys. One was killed in a plane crash in Peru. Two are living. One lives in St. Louis. Has two girls, and he's a lawyer. He was a journeyman electrician, made more money than he does now, but he's a lawyer now. And the other one lives in Pittsburgh, and he's handicapped.
Okay, could you tell us their names and when they were born?
David is the oldest. He's the one who's the lawyer, and he was born in 51. Danny, who has died, who was so very much involved in theater and won a lot of awards as best actor. He acted in college productions as well as in the Y productions, and he has had awards and whatever. He was born in 53, and Dean was born in 58.
And what year was that? Plane crash. Did you say he died?
That was in 70.
Okay. All right. And what about your religion at home? You said you still belong to. Did
Rodef.
You say you still belong to Rodef Shul?
Yeah.
Were your boys bar mitzvahed?
No. Danny was confirmed. Danny and Dean were confirmed. David resisted. And so David never was confirmed. But Danny was very involved in Temple theater and productions and whatever. And Dean is still very much involved in Temple activities. But David never did. And we were we celebrated the holidays. We used to have, you know, big parties here. And Passover and Seder stuff, but we weren't very, very religious otherwise. We didn't keep kosher at all. I can't remember, I have a feeling my grandmother, my father's mother, kept kosher.
Where were they born, your father's mother?
They came from Russia. My father didn't immigrate until he was a teenager. Uh-huh. They came from St. Petersburg. They were in the jewelry business in St. Petersburg. And I think my father's father was still in the jewelry business here in Pittsburgh until he died. Over in the north, they lived in the north side, and then they moved to East End. Pretty sure my grandmother was kept kosher, but she never, you know, was after us to do a temple or anything of that sort. And as I say, my mother was very reformed, and her parents came from Germany, but none of her family was extremely religious.
Okay. I'd like you to talk about your professional life, and your volunteerism, which I know is very long.
Yeah.
That's all? Oh, well.
Okay. Hey.
Okay, I guess she can start with that, and then we'll continue.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's
Well, first I worked in advertising and until I got married. And then, in fact, I stayed working in advertising until I had children. And then I did part-time, and I also worked, I was one of the first people who did a joint working as a secretary in a chemical company. We knew the owner. And there were two of us, we're still very good friends, to another woman and myself, who we would go in, we'd share the secretarial duties at this chemical place because we both have children. That worked out very nicely. And I also worked in, at the same time, at in physical therapy for a Dr. Sherman. I'm not sure how I got into that somehow, in any event. He saw me, I was volunteering at Montefiore Hospital, and I did a lot of volunteer work over there. I worked in the physical therapy department, and that's where he saw me, and he had me come in on weekends and work physical therapy in his office in Oakland. But I also did reading to the blind through the Ladies Hospital Aid at Montefiore. And I did that, and then I would, not only at Montefiore, it was associated with Montefiore, but we would do, I did a ton of reading to the blind and recording for the blind, and I learned Braille and did some Braille work. And finally passed my Braille certificate, but then I quit because actually Braille requires being very precise, and I'm not, it was a strain for me because I would continually make mistakes, and you can't make mistakes with Braille, so it was really a struggle. But I did get my certificate, and then I said, that's it. So I did a couple books, you know, and that in order to fill the requirement. But I learned that at Temple. They had a class in Braille at Temple. Rediff. They had the Braille class. And there was a pretty good-sized class. Jane Ellen Bowden was very involved. In any event, I did a lot of reading the blind continually and became very much involved with the handicap. And I would read to two law students all the way through law school, so that's how I got my law education, and I helped, did their, in fact there were three of them, but I did, gave them their bar exams too, and would type up the answers and all. That was quite interesting, so I'd taken two bar exams, and both of them passed. they had a proctor to make sure I didn't cheat. So I did all that, and that was while the kids were growing up. And then I got involved through a neighbor who got me interested in going to an ACLU meeting, which at the time didn't have an office. And when I went to the meeting, I volunteered to do a...
I just went, Cindy, these tapes run over half an hour.
Okay. I volunteered to take charge of a video or that was of the or tape thing on the House Un-American Activities Committee, and I would be in charge of sending it to different colleges and making sure it got played for the students so they could see what how HUAC was performing and get it back and then take it to another. So I did that presumably so well that they decided when they thought they had enough money that they would hire somebody to run the office. We didn't have enough money to run an office, so we fixed up our basement and I had it here for about 12 years in which we had even interns would come in from college, law students would come, and they'd come over here, and they would work downstairs, down here. And so we had another phone, We had two phones, you know, one was the house phone and one was the ACLU phone in the house. And the students, my kids got used to answering the phone and ACLU.
Okay.